Welcome to the ACFCS Financial Crime Cast, featuring news and guidance from experts across all fields of financial crime. I'm Brian Kendall, Editorial Director with ACFCS, and this week we're diving into a key corruption risk for financial institutions with a look at sovereign wealth funds. My guest is Tom Fox, principal of Tom Fox Law and a noted speaker and blogger on anti-corruption and compliance issues. Well, Tom, thank you very much for being here. This is an interesting and important topic for a huge range of financial institutions, and I'm glad to have a real expert on the phone today to talk it over with us. So thanks for giving us your insight on this issue.
Brian, I really appreciate the opportunity to visit with you, and it's great to be back.
Yeah. Oh, well, thanks for doing it again. Well, for those of our listeners that might not be familiar with what a sovereign wealth fund actually is, can you start by just briefly explaining sovereign wealth funds, what they do, what they are?
Sure. A sovereign wealth fund is generally a fund set up by a government to invest or utilize the money that it derives from its internal returns. So, for instance, if a country has a extractive minerals component and that is mined through a national oil company, that national oil company receives royalties or other income from that sale of those properties would invest that or give that money or turn part of that money over to the country's sovereign wealth fund. So countries like Saudi Arabia, Nigeria, the Arab Emirates have sovereign wealth funds. China has a sovereign wealth fund. Norway has a sovereign wealth fund from their North Sea production. And the sovereign wealth fund can operate in a variety of manners to either invest the monies, which they would do, or in Norway's case, I think they may use the monies more for the people of Norway, but they also have an investment arm, whether it be a domestic investment arm in Norwegian properties or an international investment arm. So these sovereign wealth funds tend to have huge amounts of money, and for the purposes of the U.S. Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, the key is that these are governmental entities. So a sovereign wealth fund, by definition, is part of a foreign government. All the employees in the sovereign wealth fund are foreign government employees. So any dealings you have with them, whether that be a cup of coffee, a dinner, or a transaction or investment, is going to be governed in some part by the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act or the FCPA.
So you mentioned a lot of high-risk countries, A, have sovereign wealth funds, and B, that they're often tied to resources, natural gas, oil, that kind of thing. Does this kind of increase the risks of doing business with a sovereign wealth fund because they are tied to these extractive industries that are kind of traditionally considered to be high risk, or is that kind of a separate issue?
It's not so much that they're tied to industries, it's that they are tied to geographic locations or countries that are perceived to be at high risk of bribery and corruption. So if you, for instance, would take a look at the Transparency International Corruption Perception Index, some of the countries I named, Nigeria, for instance, other countries in West Africa, Libya, perhaps some of the countries in the Middle East, would have a high perception of corruption, so they would have a relatively lower poor score on the Corruption Perception Index. So it's not necessarily the extractive industries or extractive mineral industries part that's corrupt. It's really the geographic locations that are perceived to be high risk of corruption.
Got it.
And so you could take Norway, for instance, which has a huge extractive mineral industry, but nevertheless is perceived to be a very low risk of corruption.
Makes sense. So we've heard some rumblings in the news over the past couple of years about the U.S. government, U.S. enforcement agencies, I believe the SEC specifically, but you can correct me if I'm wrong there, scrutinizing financial institutions dealing with sovereign wealth funds. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on there? Are they looking for FCPA violations? And if so, what's kind of driving U.S. scrutiny of ties to sovereign wealth funds?
Sure. I think it was in 2011 the SEC publicly announced that they had sent letters to private equity firms who are big users of sovereign wealth fund investment. And I think that was then followed up by financial institutions as well. We have not seen FCPA enforcement actions against those two types of institutions or business enterprises as yet. FCPA cases take a long time to develop, so that's not surprising. But those two industries were put on notice, and it was publicly announced that they were moving forward. The government was moving forward to take a look at them. With regard to financial institutions, the J.P. Morgan is under investigation for their alleged hiring of Chinese government official sons and daughters. And so that's generated a lot of publicity for J.P. Morgan, and I think other financial institutions who may have engaged in similar behavior. And the U.S. government has just heightened or increased their scrutiny. And then when a company gets under government scrutiny or finds one problem, they will generally authorize a more thorough internal investigation, which, of course, can turn up other issues. So the government is looking at them. I think companies are now a little bit more aware. And certainly with the J.P. Morgan Sons and Daughters hiring program, the banks now are not only facing government scrutiny and the government spotlight, but now they've probably had to take a more comprehensive look at all of their operations, which may turn up other issues.
So we have the government kind of putting these companies under the microscope. We have the companies themselves doing internal reviews. A couple days ago, I believe, if not yesterday, there was an article about the Libyan Investment Authority, Libya's sovereign wealth fund, filing a lawsuit against Société Générale, one of the major French banks, related to Société Générale's dealing with the sovereign wealth funds and potential corruption. The same Libyan Investment Authority also sued Goldman Sachs back in January for similar allegations of corruption and sour derivatives deals. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on here and tell us a little bit about how these institutions got involved with this Libyan Sovereign Wealth Fund, as well as maybe if the U.S. government played any role there?
Sure. It's really interesting. You have several different really disparate factors coming into play here. It really goes back to when former Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi agreed to disarm from nuclear weapons and had a rapprochement with the West, Western Europe, and the United States, and was really welcomed back into the Western economic community as a full-fledged participant. And at that point, the U.S. government encouraged financial institutions to do business with the Libyan Sovereign Wealth Fund to help try to integrate Libya back into Western marketplaces, and probably with an eye towards helping to develop the oil and gas reserves and, you know, a variety of other factors. But so that's really, I think that was 2007, and so that's really the start of when these financial institutions started to deal with the sovereign wealth funds. What has come to light is that the Libyan government at that time, Colonel Gaddafi's government, required agents to be used. And agents are generally recognized third-party representatives as the highest risk under the FCPA. And some of the allegations bubbling out seem to indicate that these agents were engaged in bribery and corruption, perhaps on behalf of the financial institutions. Monies were siphoned off and forwarded or fronted to the Gaddafi family, and that the whole sort of panoply of those types of allegations have come up from this. So that's really kind of the FCPA angle on the Libyan Sovereign Wealth Fund. The specific lawsuits that the sovereign wealth funds have brought against Goldman Sachs and Société Générale are also very interesting. The first point that is really key for anyone listening, or indeed your readers, is there is no private action or cause of action available under the FCPA. So no one can sue for an FCPA violation other than the U.S. government. No private company, no sovereign wealth fund, no foreign government, nobody. So what a foreign government would have to do is bring some other claim. And we really have not seen any of those, with one exception, and I have to say it's a major exception. And that exception is last year, the Bahrainian aluminum company called Alba concluded a settlement with Alcoa. where the underlying allegations were that an agent of Alcoa had paid bribes to officials in Bahrain to get contracts with the Bahrainian aluminum company. And these contracts were inflated to generate the monies to pay for the bribe so that there was actual damage to either the citizens of Bahrain or the Bahrainian aluminum company itself. This case was settled for, I think, $45 million. This case went on for a long time because in the middle of it, it was stayed or put on hold because the U.S. government opened an FCPA investigation against Alcoa. And Alcoa paid a $365 million fine the first week of this year for allegations that it indeed engaged in bribery and corruption or that its agent had engaged in bribery and corruption. And if I could just throw one other weird fact in on this case, that particular agent is a guy named Victor Dadala. The Serious Fraud Office in the United Kingdom brought suit against, or brought a criminal action, rather, against Mr. Dadala for these same conduct. And the case fell apart because Alcoa's outside counsel refused to go to the trial to testify about the facts they found of Mr. Dadala's conduct. So the actual agent who's alleged to have engaged in the bribery and corruption, his criminal action was dismissed by the British court. So a very odd and twisting set of facts, but nonetheless, a key point is that there has been one successful action by a foreign government enterprise here, the aluminum company of Bahrain, Alba, against a U.S. company for basically the same set of facts that would constitute an FCPA violation. That is the kind of the basis of the Libyan Sovereign Wealth Fund's suits against Société Générale and Goldman.
Very interesting case there. And, I mean, based on what you know of the Libyan Investment Authority's suit, you know, do you think they have a strong case? I know it's been filed in a London High Court. Looks like they have this Bahraini case as precedent. What's likely to happen with this case, if you have any predictions there?
Well, my suspicion is what is likely to happen is the same thing that happened in the Alban versus Alcoa. It will be stayed pending the U.S. government's investigation, because if the U.S. government does an investigation and uncovers facts which would support the Libyan Sovereign Wealth Fund's claim, all their work is done for them.
Mm.
And even more to the point that I tried to describe in your opening question, when companies are put on notice of an FCPA violation, either by the government or internal whistleblower or in a lawsuit, they will commission an internal investigation. And that internal investigation indeed could provide the facts which inform the basis of either an FCPA violation or the Libyan Sovereign Wealth Fund's claim in a civil action. So it wouldn't surprise me to see these lawsuits stay pending an investigation, and then if the investigation, internal investigation, turns up something that's shared with the U.S. government, a resolution is made of the FCPA issues, if any, and then that would lead to the settlement of the Libyan Sovereign Wealth Fund case. But these suits are not in the United States, so the United States government cannot go into the United States court and say we want this stayed. It's conceivable that these lawsuits could run in parallel with full discovery and public disclosure and a lot of other things that might hamper the defendants who've been sued in the criminal actions brought by either the United States government of the FCPA, the UK government of the Serious Fraud Office under the UK Bribery Act.
Hmm. Well, I'd be fascinated to see how that plays out. Speaking generally, kind of on a high level, as you know, the UK, US continue to crack down on corruption, other countries seem to be increasing their own enforcement of foreign corruption. Do you find that in general it's the case that companies are increasingly at risk of a private suit, a civil suit related to, you know, corrupt activity? As you said, they can't be held liable for specific FCPA violations, but maybe, you know, I've seen allegations of breach of contract in cases of corruption, that kind of thing. Are we seeing any trend where companies are being sued privately for related to corrupt activity?
We have not typically seen that with one major exception, which is shareholder derivative actions.
Okay.
There's announcement of an FCPA violation. There is, an FCPA investigation. There is almost immediately just a plethora of plaintiffs, shareholders, or actions filed, claiming that that's devalued the value of the stock, the company should have known about it, those sorts of things. So those are ongoing almost on a regular basis. And for every announcement of an FCPA investigation, there's probably five lawsuits filed. But in the private cause of action by companies, we have not really seen a lot of those. I think that is an area that's ripe for exploration as a lawsuit for a couple of reasons, but the facts have to be right. So if I could maybe explain that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a situation where a bribe was paid, Company A got a contract over Company B because of that bribe, Company B, and you can show the contract was let or received based on that bribe, and then Company B was damaged because they didn't get the contract and didn't make the profits. So many FCPA violations, there's not a specific contract. There's a series of contracts. There's not one Company B that's been damaged. It may be a series of Company Bs. It may be difficult to figure out what specific bribe was paid to get what specific contract. If I could contrast that with one of the major FCPA cases, it was the Halliburton FCPA settlement, and that involved Halliburton subsidiary KBR, who, as part of a joint venture consortium, paid bribes to get a contract to build a natural gas processing facility in Nigeria. It's about a $6 billion contract, and they paid several hundred million dollars in bribes. That was settled back in 2008. If there had been another construction company that had bid on that, that seems to me the kind of situation where they could have sued. But it's really an unfair competition claim. Those laws are almost on every state books in the United States, meaning that every state has a law against unfair competition. I think that that's a claim that could incorporate bribery and corruption, but you've got to have the facts specific enough that you can prove as Company B or the plaintiff that you have damages because of Company A or the bribe payer's conduct.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, we'll keep on the lookout for a case to kind of test this theory. Well, Tom, as always, thank you very much for joining us. Fascinating topic and some great points you made there. So really appreciate you being on here and really appreciate your insight on this.
Thanks again, and looking forward to our next visit, Brian.
Thanks, Tom.